our best highlights.
Come on.
Out of bounds.
On the field.
Footballing pioneers.
In the history of the game.
As long as there's been footy, there have been superstars for us to idolise.
Welcome to our round one preview, opening round review, Charlie.
that's a bit of a mouthful.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Footy's back.
Yeah. Footy's back, and geez, it's back with a vengeance. It was a good opening round.
It was a very good opening round. All right. I've got a trivia question for you, and I've got a backup trivia question in case you know the answer really quickly.
Okay.
So Matt Rowell had the second most clearances in the game ever this weekend on record.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the answer to who has the most?
Patrick Cripps.
This is good. You don't know.
Okay, good. All right.
You can have a ponder of that while we chat. I'll give you a clue. It happened in 1998.
Okay.
So who has had the most clearances recorded since 1998? So, yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll have a think on that one. Okay. Good. Nice. Leave it with me.
Yeah. All right. So opening round, first ever opening round. A few things to note going back. So we had on Thursday night and Friday night, we had both Sydney and Carlton scoring 86 points.
Mm-hmm.
And Brisbane had also scored 86 points in last year's grand final. So that's three straight games effectively with the final score of 86.
Okay.
Yep. There was no score of Garmies this week. And also,
they were all pretty normal scores, weren't they?
They were, yep. And also, every single team that won the toss won the match.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. So let's start off on Thursday night, Charlie. I didn't watch this game. I was hours out, but you just definitely did.
I certainly did. So we had the D's in Sydney in the earliest opening match of a season ever, as we mentioned last time around.
What did you make of the Swan celebrations pre-game?
I like that 150 years getting everyone, up and about and around the club. I thought that was really good.
I'm disappointed we didn't actually realize it was 150 years. It's really something we should have mentioned.
Yeah. But it was nice to hear a few of the voices around, after the game, talking to a few of the players, Teasdale and Paul Kelly and Kirky, and then bringing all the different cups in. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, they had their VFA and VFL cups, I believe.
They were very pumped. They were very pumped. And they took that energy into the game, that's for sure.
Yeah. Was it low scoring early on?
It was. It was hard fought. Lots of it was very much in Melbourne's forward half for the first half, but we just couldn't seem to capitalize on that.
Same old story.
Yep, and then they managed to run away with it and took out the clearances in the second half as well. Brody Grundy was back to his best. That's maybe a bit of an overstatement, but he played very well.
Yeah,
relishing that proper ruck role again, I think.
Yeah. So going back to the opening, legends I spotted in the crowd, and add to this if you can: Ryan O'Keefe, Josh Kennedy, Kieran Jack, Greg Williams, Peter Bedford, Derek Kickett, Barry Hall, Brett Kirk, Michael O'Loughlin, Paul Kelly, Nick Davis.
Yeah. Leo Barry was there too. Yeah. Who else did we see?
I couldn't find a comprehensive list. I couldn't find a list.
No, those couple that I mentioned before, but no, yeah, there were lots of blokes there.
Very nice way to do it. Final score was 86 to 64. What does 86 plus 64 equal, Charlie?
86 plus 64 is 150.
150-year celebration. How's that?
Hey, there you go.
Ollie Florent scored the first goal of the season.
He did, happily. Very happy to get that done.
And this also puts Brody Grundy undefeated against his ex-teams.
Yeah.
Here's a fun stat from Swamp Thing: players to feature in a team's first AFL VFL game of the season at three different clubs in three straight years. More players than you'd think. We've got Len Thomas, Rex Hunt, Len Thompson, Phil Carman, Mark Jackson, Paul Morwood, Michael Lockman, Rod Owen, Adrian Fletcher, Barry Mitchell, Brody Grundy.
Okay.
It hasn't happened for a long time.
There you go.
In years when Sydney has scored 12, 14, 86 at the SCG against the Demons, the Dogs have won a premiership.
Okay, all right, wow.
But also the last two teams to win their first match of the season by 22 points have won the flag. Pies last year against the Cats and the Demons in 2021.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, that's good signs for them.
Yeah. So the omens are already starting. So that's a definite. Yeah, oh,
love it. Love
definite,
that.
Definite Bulldogs flag, but also a definite Swans flag.
Hopefully those things will just start to they'll come together and we'll, slowly be able to pull some of those omens away.
Indeed. All right. Next game was Brisbane versus Carlton up at the Gabba. And this was a pretty good game.
It was. Well, geez, it didn't look like it was going to be.
Not early on, no.
I was out having drinks with a couple of Carlton supporters, and they were saying, "Well, let's have a few more. I don't want to go home and watch it."
Yeah.
Then it turned right around. Did you watch the whole thing, Timmy?
Yeah, I did. Although, the first quarter was pretty boring. I kind of zoned out. I'm like, "Oh, Brisbane's got this. This is going to be comprehensive." But yeah, they got it to a 46-point lead, and Carlton just reeled them in pretty easily as well and comfortably. It made that last quarter very exciting.
I did like the inclusion of do they call themselves the Blues Brothers? Is that how it worked with all the fedoras in the crowd?
Yeah, I really liked it as well.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, very clever. And we've already got Robbie Williams asking for his own one of those shirts today on social media.
Yeah, there was a bit of funny footage on the footage of Vossi having doing a FaceTime with Robbie talking about their defense and stuff. It was great.
Nice. I'm disappointed that Connor McKenna wasn't playing for Brisbane, because that meant we would have had in the one game Connor McKenna, Joe Danaher, Orazio Fantasia, and Adam Saad, like all four players who left the Bombers at that time, playing
yeah,
other teams
playing,
against
yes.
each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
McKenna wasn't playing. Fantasia was playing his 100th game after, having to wait almost a whole year to play his 100th after being stuck on 99 since round three last year.
Yeah.
Now, the Lions came into this with a streak of 26 straight wins at the Gabba.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't know if that's correct, but Callum Archie had won 26 straight games at the Gabba. And he was chasing down the record, which is 28, held by Michael Voss.
Oh, 28 straight games at the Gabba. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, straight wins. So Michael Voss has protected his streak there. And this was the ninth one-point game that Chris Fagan has been part of. The Lions have won four of them, lost five.
Oh gosh, you really want that to sway in your favor, don't you? But it was an incredible, it was a bloody good game in the end.
And you would not have tipped Harry Mackay to kick the winner.
No, and especially, I mean, even early in the game, like, God, they were going everywhere. There were a few interesting ones.
Yep. I'm going to be up and about this week, I think, as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Saturday, Charlie.
Yes, let's talk about Saturday's first game, which was our sort of afternoon match, and it was the Suns versus Richmond.
At Carrara.
The People First Stadium, Timmy.
No, I was only going to call it Carrara.
I think this was a really interesting one. Dimmer playing against his old team, Uze first game as head coach.
Yeah.
You know, Richmond missing a few big names.
Yep.
But Gold Coast just got the jump on them early.
They did. It was a little bit like Friday night's game, actually, with the way the Queensland team got out and then the Melbourne team pulled them back.
Yeah.
But I think the nature of this win was probably a good thing for Gold Coast. If it had just been a romp, yeah, that would have been fine as well. But for them to get out to a lead and then Richmond come back, but then they didn't.
They held their nerve.
They held their nerve and they were able to fight through that and regain their composure. So I think that, if you're a Gold Coast fan, that probably says more about the team, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And a few of those young guys are really starting to stand up, aren't they? And yeah, that's I was I really enjoyed watching it, and I'm hoping that, I think we didn't end up having them in R8, but I'm hopeful.
Just
that
we had them in
there.
Ninth. Yeah.
I'm super hopeful that they'll be there, and I'm feeling good after watching them the way they played in that game, that's for sure.
Well, the last time a coach left Richmond and went up to coach a team in Queensland was John Northey when he went up to coach the Bears in 1996. And he took them within a game of a grand final. He took them to, you know, second or third on the ladder and made
That's
a prelim.
true. That's very true. Okay. Well, hopefully we can see that. Good omens for the Suns.
Yeah. So most recent times AFL teams have met with both with new coaches. Before this match, it was 2014 St Kilda Melbourne, Paul Ruse taking on Alan Richardson.
Okay. Geez, that's a fair while ago, isn't it?
Yeah, but and before that it was 2002. So it's every 12 years. So West Coast Fremantle, John Worsfold versus Connolly.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. What else? And so this is the fourth straight win that the Suns have had over the Tigers as well.
Okay, that's quite a surprising stat.
Yeah, and here's another surprising stat: first time Dimmer's ever coached a team to beat Richmond.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Because he's always been coaching them.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there you go.
And then our final match of the weekend.
Saturday night. This was the one that everyone wanted. GWS versus Collingwood. That's that tsunami. The old tsunami.
Do you follow the GWS social media?
I do not.
You need to. They are elite at what they do.
Really?
The content's amazing. So you didn't see the whole stuff about Mason Cox? Like,
I saw, I read a bit about it, about they had the petting zoo and stuff. Yeah, classic.
And then, like, he had zero disposals. He hadn't touched the ball at halftime. You know, he ran through Shane Mumford in the coaching thing before the game. And, yeah, he couldn't walk the walk. He talked the talk, couldn't walk the walk.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-game, the GWS, so the Pies banner read, "Roses are red, Giants seem blue, the hate us, we don't mind you."
The hate us.
The okay, hate us. Straight away, GWS replied with their banner, "The Pies forced to travel, oh boy did they weep, welcome to our showground, watch out for the sheep." And there was an asterisk saying, all spelt correctly.
Geez, so they worked well on that one.
Yeah, they really got mileage out of this Collingwood rivalry. They're working it really well. And the Giants are really following in the Pies' footsteps. So obviously we talked about they lost a prelim by a point the year before they won it. Then the first game of the next season, they knock off the reigning premiers, which is what Collingwood did last year when they beat Geelong in round one. So the Giants have done it this year with knocking off Collingwood.
And they did it convincingly too, didn't they?
Yeah. So there's your omen for the Giants to win it. That's three omens now. We should keep track of all these.
We should. Well, it seems like every team that's won so far is looking on track for the flag. Yeah. So
we've had it was the 200th time a team had finished on a score of 114. We've got Pendlebury moving into the top. Well, he's in the top echelon of players now. The only players ahead of him in games played are all over 400.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So he needs to hit that marker.
Yeah. So he's in sixth. He's 16 games behind Dustin Fletcher.
Yeah.
He just moved one ahead of Robert Harvey.
Okay. So he's really aiming for Fletch now because he's not going to run down any of the other 400ers.
Not this year. But yeah, no, he should get over 400. We've got, so Pendlebury also became the first person to play in front of 20 million fans.
Cumulative fans.
Yeah. In terms of crowd, that's pretty impressive.
That's going to be an interesting stat to keep track of in the future to see, you know, obviously crowd sizes. And we're almost getting to a point where can they really grow much more unless we're getting sold out crowds at the G every week.
Yeah.
You'd want to be playing for the Pies or the Tigers, that's for sure, wouldn't you?
Yep,
or the Blues.
Absolutely. This is the first match since round 18, 1963 to feature a dual Collingwood Premiership player as well. So Pendles and Sidebottom are dual Premiership players. Hasn't happened since 63 when Murray Wiedemann played his last game.
The Zebra.
Yep, just before he went and did some wrestling.
When did some pro wrestling. Yeah, yep. What a great man.
It has been, there's been a few seasons recently when both the reigning grand final teams have lost in the first round. So this year it happened, Collingwood and Brisbane both losing. It happened in 2019, 2012, 99, 97. And then you have to jump all the way back to 57 and then all the way back to 1907 for that to happen. So,
yeah, wow.
Often. And then the Pies only let in 17 or more goals twice last year, both against Brisbane. So a good score there by the Giants.
Yeah, well, they've got some young talent in their forward line, and also like Jesse Hogan, I thought played really well, and he worked pretty hard. So yeah, no, they're gonna be interesting.
They really are.
It's gonna be tight to get. You can already see it. Like those final spots are gonna be very hard to come by, I think.
Absolutely. Do you want to have you got the ladder handy?
I certainly do. So on top of the ladder, we have the Gold Coast Suns.
For the first time ever.
Wow.
Yep.
4 points, 165%.
Yeah, it took Brisbane until they had an ex-Richmond coach as well. Took them until 96 to finish on the ladder for the first time.
Wowzers. There you go.
Then after that?
All right, yeah. So there and then we've got GWS.
Look at the expansion teams kicking goals.
I know, and then Sydney, our top three are interstate teams.
Yeah.
And then those Blues.
Yeah. And then the Lions, Demons, Pies, Tigers rounding out the top eight.
Yeah, it's amazing how you can lose and still sit nicely on that ladder with a percentage of in the 70s.
Yeah,
like that. I don't mind that at all.
Yeah. All right, well, let's project forward to round one then, Charlie, which is weird.
Let's do that too.
Second round of the year, round one. This round has
a round to me.
Yes, we're going to be treated to lots of football. A grand final rematch rating of 5. We've got 5 grand final rematches here.
Okay, well, I'm assuming that we have the first one on the Thursday night. Thursday, Carlton versus, well, I'm not assuming, I know. Carlton versus Richmond.
Absolutely. They played in 6 grand finals. Tigers won 4, Blues have won 2. Great book by Dan Eddy. If you like that rivalry, it is called The Brilliance and the Brutality. It talks about their rivalry in the 60s and 70s. Some big games, some big clashes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So this one has been a season opener for a few years now. This might be the first one in a while. As we've talked about, it's usually not a great game. This might be the first one in a while where it is.
Well, last year was a draw, so that wasn't a bad game.
No.
But, yeah, so this is the 25th time they played in round one. The record stands at Carlton 10, Tigers 12, and 2 draws. But I feel like there's a clear pendulum in these games. It started off with the Blues, especially when they started playing the regular season openers from 2007. It would always, for a long time, it was the Blues who won easily.
Yeah.
And it kind of swung across to Richmond who won, what did they win, 8 straight. And then, you know, the Blues had a win a few years ago and then they drew last year. But I'm thinking this is really the pendulum's about Carlton's way now and it's going to be their dominance.
Yeah.
A little a free kick at the start of each season because Richmond don't look that competitive.
No, they don't, do they, right now? But hopefully, you know, they don't. There's definitely potential there. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what Uze can do with that team.
Yes,
they're very interesting. So that's our Thursday. Should we move on to our Friday night, Timmy?
Sure. Yep.
We have Collingwood versus Sydney, 7th versus 3rd on the ladder.
Played in a few grand finals as well. 35-36 definitely come to mind. I think they played in 1918 as well.
Okay.
And yeah. Used to play for the Lockett Coventry Cup. Don't think they do anymore. Second week in a row as well, Brodie Grundy's taken on his ex team. So he's in a good form against them. They should win if he can continue that streak.
Yeah. Geez, that'd be good to do. And I'll tell you what, that would be very interesting to me because the stats say no team has ever won a flag after losing the first 2 games of the year.
Interesting.
So, well, that's round 1 and 2. I don't know where the opening round counts in that. There's a little asterisk for you, but Collingwood go down in round 2, go down 2 games in a row to start the season. It's not looking good for them.
No.
And I'm saying that as a D supporter, knowing that we've got to beat the Bulldogs too.
They are also unfurling their premiership flag this week.
Ah, the curse.
Will it be Jeff Brown's wife, Rhonda Wiley, who is unfurling it as tradition dictates?
Probably not.
Probably not. Last time Pies did it was Simon Prestigiacomo, who unfurled it on the roof of the MCG, which was a really nice touch. I remember being there, and he had been left out of the grand final team, or I think he'd been under an injury cloud and declared himself unfit for the grand final and took himself out of it. So to reward him for that, he was able to unfurl it that night.
Oh, that's nice. That's good. I like that.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how they do it, what they're going to do.
Yeah. All right, so then on Saturday we've got Essendon versus the Hawks. Timmy, are you guys going into that game favourites at the G?
Yep. Which, if you look at our fixture, this is kind of the most winnable game we've got early on.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely can't take the Hawks lightly. They've got a few injuries, but that's when the upsets happen, is early on.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It's easy with hindsight to look back sort of like halfway through the year and be like, oh, actually, that, you know, that we didn't, like, it's not so bad that we lost that game, or, you know, they're playing this well now, blah, blah, blah. But it's hard to know in the first round what they've been doing in the preseason, how to make sure, you know. You would think that you should have their number, but it's never easy to know.
No. And this is also, we're celebrating the 40th anniversary of the 84 and 85 flags at this game. So those premiership teams will do a lap. Obviously, Hawthorn and Essendon played 83, 84, 85 grand finals. And then, you know, I've also always got to reminisce about round one in 1949, John Coleman making his debut against the Hawks and kicking 12.
Oh, yeah. Is there anyone who can do that for you this time around, Timmy?
Nate Caddy, maybe.
Nate Caddy, kick 12. Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Great. That'll be
Probably,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah, pencil it in.
Easy done.
Yeah.
All righty. So let's move on to our Saturday evening match, which is, of course, another classic grand final matchup of GWS versus North Melbourne.
Yeah. Future grand final, perhaps.
Future grand final rivals, yeah.
Interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing Kangaroos' new game plan, apparently. They've got this new style, Clarko ball or Kangaroo's ball or something they're trying to call it.
Okay.
Should be interesting.
I imagine Clarko might keep himself up in the box this time to keep himself free of any trouble on the line.
Yes, you'd hope so. And, you know, we need to start lobbying for more inter-club trophies, but for the GWS Giants and the Gold Coast Suns, because they don't really have any.
No,
all
of
these
course
other
they
clubs
don't.
Get to, all these other clubs get to play for them. Like for this one, could we have like the Jason McCartney medal? Or was there already one of those?
I think there was one of those, wasn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, it was. Maybe Collingwood North.
Yeah.
Maybe not this matchup, but you know, we should start lobbying for it.
Yeah, for more of those.
All the other clubs get them.
Yeah.
I mean, we just need to award it for a year or two and then forget about it completely, like every other
well,
club.
Well, that's all you need. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just a one or two off. That's all
yeah.
you need.
Yep.
The prediction would be surely GWS go to the top of the ladder after this game if they can beat North convincingly.
You'd think so, but anything can happen in round one.
Oh, yeah, we know that. We certainly do know that. And then Saturday night, I think this one's going to be really interesting. We've got St Kilda versus the Cats at GMHBA.
Yep,
now, the Cats are going into...
They played a grand final as well?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, of course. The Cats are going into that favourites, but... I don't know.
They are.
I don't know where that sits. I feel like that's a bit of a line ball, that one.
Yeah, a lot of people underestimate St Kilda, even though they had very good preseason form. Did you see the Saints jumper the last round of the match of the preseason? They had the stick
no,
man.
I didn't.
Stick man Saint was back.
Oh, the classic.
It's a little bit different. It looks like you can see that.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
But I love that. I love
different,
the stick
but
man.
Yeah, me too. I think the Cats are finally opening their new stadium, the Joel Selwood Stand.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the thing we're looking forward to is hopefully our friend Sean gets a run for the Cats.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. So we'll be sure to let everyone know if he does.
We certainly will. And then on Saturday night, our other match is Gold Coast versus Adelaide.
Yep, back at Carrara.
Back at Carrara.
Sonny's looking for two in a row. The Crows probably angry about the way last season ended, so looking to make a bit of a statement early.
Yep. Tex come out hard and kick a few in the first game. Do you think he can challenge Charlie Curnow for the Coleman this year?
Oh, surely Jesse Hogan's the favorite.
Well, yeah. Let's see if he can do it again.
If this was going to have an interclub award, maybe the Nathan Bock Award.
Yep. Okay.
He was, I remember he left. He was one of the first signings for Gold Coast and went from Adelaide and played a heap of games, though. There's got to be some admin, some admin. Half of these awards are named after benefactors and admin.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they, especially GWS and Gold Coast, they've had so many players go from them to different teams. I'm sure we can figure it out, right?
And then moving on to, is it Sunday? Yes, it is.
Sunday. So we've got Melbourne Bulldogs. Now, this is a great grand final replay matchup.
Which
Yeah.
one, 54 or 2002?
I prefer 2000
Oh,
to 20, 2021.
22, 21, 21, 22, 20. What year did you
20,
win it? 21. Yeah, 21.
21, 21. Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
sorry.
yeah. So you had me doubting myself for a minute there. Yeah, now yeah, I'll stick with my memories of 21. Not that I have any memories of 54, but I don't want to hear about them either.
No. Did you see the way the Demons are using Angus Brayshaw's helmet?
Yes, I like that. I
Yeah, me
really
too.
like that.
Just making sure
Hanging on the wall.
they touch it on the way out. I assume they'll be keeping that all season.
I think that's really nice. Unfortunately, without Jake Bowie after doing his collarbone in that first game,
Did he?
but hopefully we can turn it around and actually get some tools to kick some goals this week would be nice.
Is it a danger game if you lose this game and go zero
Well,
and two? Is that
just like I said before, no one's lost the first two games of the year and gone on to win the flag. So I think so. I think
okay?
you got to be you can't be, you know. I wasn't upset after losing to Sydney. I think that was okay. I think we had our opportunities to win and we squandered them just like we did many times last year. But I don't think you can accept it. Yeah.
Okay.
So
The
yeah.
Liberatores in this game will reach a combined 500 games, as well as a father-son pairing, the 10th family to do
Beautiful.
this.
What family's got the most games, Timmy?
Probably Dustin Fletcher and his dad Ken, I think, as
Oh, as just a pure father-son, not like grandfather, father-son.
yeah. Well, I think if you're going family, then probably the Richards. Ron Richards,
Yeah,
Lou Richards, Ed Richards, all those.
Well, if you're linking just relations, the pay, and then you've got Panams and
Panems as
all
well,
them too,
yeah.
right? So yeah, probably you'd think they've got it covered. And then we're moving on to Port Adelaide versus West Coast.
Well, I reckon this is our favorite for a scoreigami this game.
Yeah.
Port always start the season as well. They always start the season very well. Since 2016, they've only lost in round one once, and the margin is usually around 10 goals. I think this will be even higher than 10 goals.
Oh, I hope the Eagles can at least give a good showing just to get some confidence to come into the year. But I highly doubt they'll be able to, unfortunately.
Interesting to see how Harley Reid goes as well, and who takes him or what they do with him.
Yeah, and what they do with, yeah, absolutely. And then to finish off the round at 6:50 on the Sunday, we've got Freo versus Brisbane at Optus Stadium.
Yeah. Obviously, the line's out to make a bit of a amends for last week's fade out. And Freo, I don't really know what to think of Freo this year.
Neither. They're one of those ones that feels like it's hard to place. It's hard to know.
I mean, there's like we're
I think.
excited about Gold Coast because they've got a new coach, and we're excited about the Giants because they came within a point of a grand final. But Freo, I'm like,
Yeah, and
yeah.
I just feel like, and maybe this is pure, maybe this is me, maybe this is very Melbourne focused, but I feel like Freo is the team that we hear and see the least of in Melbourne. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, there we go. I really liked the fact we just had four games this weekend. It sort of eased me into having, to for it being back.
An
That said,
entree.
I was very it was very hard that we didn't have any footy on yesterday.
I
I was
agree.
like, okay, what are we going to watch? But there was nothing.
Are you
So,
going? And there was not even state games or local games.
no, I know. So I'm looking forward to looking forward to a full round and looking forward to getting back to the G.
Are you going to the D's game?
Oh, I think I'll have to.
You got any others?
No, I'll no, probably not. Probably not. Yeah. So there we go.
All right. Well, have you got an answer for me? Most clearances in a game since 1998. I don't think you'll get it because it's not who you'd expect.
Honestly, I don't even think, I can't even think, no, who I
I
should
mean,
guess.
you'd think
Nah.
it'd be like Robert Harvey or like who are Andrew McLeod, Rasciutto, Buckley. Like you'd think one of those players from like 98. The answer is Paul Salmon playing for Hawthorn against North
Really?
Melbourne. Yep. 22 clearances.
That's huge. So how many did Matty Rowell end up with?
20.
That's massive.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
Yep. He was very, very,
Yeah.
very impressive.
Paul Salmon. Okay. Yeah. Never in a million years would have got that one.
Nope.
So keep those ones coming. I wonder whether anyone at home guessed that one to me.
Well, that's why I wasn't sure if you heard it or not, because I did hear it mentioned a few times today on other
Oh,
podcasts.
okay. Okay, no, I hadn't heard that one. So there you go. Well, Timmy, I'm looking forward to wrapping up round one and talking about round two. It's crazy. We're into it now.
Enjoy.
Fantasy footy's getting started.
Oh,
It's all
yeah.
happening.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, and so until next time, hooroo.
Thanks for listening to the Kick to Kick podcast present Backward in Coming Forward. You can find all our old episodes wherever you get your good podcasts. If you want to get in contact with us, our email address is kicktokickpodcast@gmail.com. On social media, we have Twitter at Kick to Kick Pod or on Facebook, or you can find us on Instagram at Backwards and Coming Forward. For a full list of our resources and what we use on this show, go to our website, which is kicktokick.podbean.com. Thanks very much for listening.